It's good to be back. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. I'd like to just mention a few things briefly. Back when I was about 4 years of age, my mother said to my brother and I, "Don't you think it'd be nice to have a baby sister?" And we said, "Yeah, that'd be nice." "Well, maybe you ought to pray for one." So that night we got down on our knees and prayed that the Lord would send us a baby sister. A few weeks later, my mother said, "You know, I haven't heard you pray for a baby sister anymore. Don't you want a baby sister?" I said, "Well, I asked God once, He knows. I don't have to ask Him again." The answer to that prayer is my sister Rose, and it's good to have her with us tonight. We had Rose with us for around 6 weeks in Florida and had a very good time getting acquainted with what's going on in the Philippines, as well as getting to know each other a little better. We're hoping tomorrow evening into Sunday to have a family reunion down at Camp Lailulay, and it looks like we'll have a good deal of the family. One of our grandsons is on the other side of the world. He won't be there. Aaron is on the other side of the world. We continue to pray for him. God is using Aaron. Amazing, the change that has come into his life. We almost despaired of his ever being anything for the Lord, and he's really come out well. And when recently they were sent to Thailand on TDY, and there were about 16 or 17 men, and before he left Okinawa to go there, he was told, "You will be the one responsible for the church services for these men during this time." Here is a young man, probably the youngest of the group, and what a responsibility, and what a thrill to us to know that God is using him in that way. Wonderful how God does use people, isn't it? It's been interesting as we've rehashed and gone over some of the work that God is doing in the Philippines, and to see the tremendous increase in the work in the last 5 years since we've been home. Quite a number of new assemblies have been established, not only in the Metro Manila area, but also in the outlying area, the new areas of the island of Luzon. It has been thrilling to us, and I think the thing that thrills us the most is the fact that a lot of this has been started by men and women who we taught in the Bible school out there in the Philippines. And you know, that's thrilling to see these young men and women now going out, and they're doing the work that they were trained to do, and this is the work that we like to see them do. God is blessing in that ministry. Back in about 50 years ago, my dad started a Bible Correspondence Course ministry back in 1950. And next year will be the 50th anniversary of that Bible Correspondence Course ministry. There are almost 2 million who have been enrolled in Bible Correspondence Courses in the Philippines. They're hoping that that 2 million mark will be hit before that anniversary next year. There are about 30, 40,000 people today in the Philippines studying the Word of God by means of a Bible school of their correspondence course ministry. How many have been saved? We don't know. Thousands. And yet the Lord knows, and someday we're going to meet them up there in glory. What a wonderful thing that'll be to see those who've come to know Christ as Savior. They're going to have a big celebration for the 50th anniversary on the 28th of March, I think it is, next year, up at the camp in the Philippines, and they have invited Elaine and I to come out there to join in that celebration. Elaine and I had quite a bit to do with the Bible Correspondence Course ministry in our early years, and I had a part on the radio program for quite a number of years, and so they've asked us to come out and that I'd be the speaker at that celebration. We'd appreciate prayer that the Lord would work out all the details for it. One of the things that when I first was invited, the thing that stopped it most of all in my mind was, I'm teaching in school. What's going to happen? Will they let me go? Because it wouldn't be just a short time, it'd be 3 weeks at least. When I went to the administration there was no hesitance. You go. We'll get a substitute somewhere. You go. And so it's thrilling to see that. And then also they are very much involved with Daily Bread, the Radio Bible Class Daily Bread, which is being printed in the Philippines, not in a quarterly like you get it here, but in a yearly edition. And they can't keep up with the demand for it. I think it's around 500,000, isn't it, that's been printed, around 500,000? And God is really blessing that. One of the latest editions that they've brought out is only a 6 month instead of a year. It's a 6 month. But in that, they've also put the scriptures for the reading of that day, so that when they get it, they have the scriptures right there. When we were there, it was not unusual to go into a government office and see a government official sitting reading the Daily Bread. You know, that's God's word, and people are reading it. The lady who was in charge of the travel agent that we used told me one time, she said, you know, I never go to sleep at night without reading the Daily Bread before I go to sleep. That helps me to go to sleep. And I thought, well, go to sleep with the Word of God on her mind. And what a thrill it is to see that God is using this ministry as well. Pray that God will give help and strength in this, and that God will be glorified. A little bit of our own personal work in Florida. Yeah, we've been much involved with the Hamda DeBose Academy. When we returned there in November last year after a trip up north, they asked me to take over the Bible classes of the high school. They only had 9, 10, and 11th grade this coming school year. We're going to add the 12th grade. And so I had 3 classes a day, 5 days a week. And coming August, I think it's August 9th, we start back to school. And I'll have 4 classes a day, 5 days a week. It's encouraging, it's thrilling, but very challenging. I'm a little bit out of sync with some of our young people today, but I'm getting back in quickly with this teaching. And this year we had, in high school, we had a total of 24 students when we finished. It looks like we'll have at least 40, maybe 50 in high school next year. Of course, in the lower grades, there are a lot more than that. I think we're going to hit over 200 by this coming school year. Pray for that. You know, at least half of the students in my classes are not believers. What an opportunity, day after day, to give them the Word of God. And we ask you to pray that God will work in the lives of these young people, many of them from broken homes. It's heartache to see some of these young people come from broken homes and try to help them out. So pray for us as we work with these young people. And of course, as some of you know, we've got 3 of the grandchildren here, and Elaine sometimes helps with that. And it's a thrill to us to be able to be here and watch these grandchildren grow. And we're expecting another grandchild in a few weeks. All right, let's turn to God's Word, Psalm 126, a very familiar passage, and I'd like to read the whole psalm. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is a psalm that was written after the children of Israel came back from their 70 years in captivity. Imagine being in captivity for 70 years and then coming back to your native land. I will realize that some of these folks were those who hadn't been in captivity that long, had been born in captivity, and they come back to their native land. And they're coming back. And there are a number of these psalms that were written at that time, probably about Psalm 120 to 134, are the psalms that were written concerning those who came back after captivity. And it's interesting as you read these were psalms that were sung by the pilgrim, by the people as they went up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord on the three occasions every year that they went up. That would be when they went up for the Passover, when they went up for the day of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. As they would go up toward Jerusalem, they would be singing these psalms, and this was one of the ones that they sang. It would be the seventh one, of course, seventh always being the perfect, and it was the perfect one for praise and adoration for God. And certainly as we look at it, what a picture we have here of the praise to God. First of all, praise for restoration. They were like those who dream. I can imagine they came into the land and said, boy, is it real? Are we really back? Pitch me. See if I'm asleep or not. It's just like a dream. When they stopped to think that it was God had used a heathen king to bring them back into their land. It had used a heathen king to take them out. Take them out because of punishment. They were there for 70 years because they disobeyed God. God told them, you're to keep every seventh year as a Sabbath year. Don't plant, don't harvest. And they hadn't done that. So after 490 years, the Lord said, all right, if you're not going to give it to me, I'll take it from you. And 70 years, you're going to be in captivity, and the land is going to lie without being planted or being harvested for 70 years. And so God used a heathen king to take them out, and now he uses another heathen king to bring them back into the land. And when they come in, they realize what a wonderful thing it is to come back. It was like a dream, and God's provision for them was tremendous. And as we look at this, let's think of the wonderful provision that God has made in our salvation. All the things that God has provided for us, not only the fact that our sins are gone, but all the blessings of the Christian life that are ours, God's provided it in many wonderful ways. And certainly our praise should be to the Lord for this. And of course, the result of this was their singing and laughter. Salvation brings joy and singing in the heart of a believer. Sometimes we can't sing like we'd like to sing. Some of us don't have such good voices. I always tell the Filipino folks I sing like a frog. Don't ask me to sing a solo, it'll rain, for sure. Maybe that's what you need, I don't know. But my voice is not good. But we can sing, we can have a joy in our hearts, and the joy can come out. And that's what it's speaking of here, the inward joy that comes out. And then the testimony that they had. Notice what it says here. The Lord has done great things for them. That's what the nations have said. You know, as we stop and think of that, can our neighbors say, hey, you know, there's somebody that's different than I am. There's somebody that's, their life is different. We may not agree with what they stand for, but they're different. They're different. And all that we may live lives that people seeing us will say, well, they're different than others. There's something in their life that is different. And maybe they have a desire to want that which is in our lives, such a desire that would cause them to come and say, I want to trust Christ as Savior. What an opportunity that is. And it's in our lives that are so necessary, because it's what we say by what we are that really counts, not by what we say, but what we are. Our lives really tell the story, don't they? And here it is. The heathen say, boy, well, the Lord has done great things for them. And, of course, their own personal testimony comes back. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we're glad. Isn't that wonderful? We are glad because of the wonderful things that God has done for us. And as we stop and think of all the wonderful things that God has done for us, particularly the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us day after day, what a blessing it is. And then his petition in verse 4, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. You know, as you study the history of the nation of Israel, there were three times when they came back to the land of Israel. First of all, if you go back into the book of Ezra, you'll find that in the early part of Ezra, there was a group that went out, probably about 17,000 or more, that came back to the land. And then later on in that same book, there was another group came, possibly closer to 80,000 at that time that came. And then when Nehemiah came, there was a greater number. But in spite of that, the biggest number of Jews were still back there in captivity. They were enjoying it so much they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay there. And they'd set up their business, and they were making big money. And who wants to go back to there? I mean, there's a lot of work back there. It's going to be hard to go back there. Who wants to go back there? We're making good money. We'll be all right. We may help them a little bit, but we don't want to go back. We want to stay here. And I'd like to suggest a lot of us have neighbors, yes, perhaps even relatives, that are still in captivity. They've never trusted Christ as Savior. They're still part of those who are captive by Satan. Because those who have not trusted Christ as Savior, they are in the bondage of Satan. And there's so many today that are in the bondage of Satan that we need to pray that the Lord will send. Notice what he says here. He said, as the streams in the south, the southern part of the nation of Israel is the Negev Desert. Doesn't have much of the streams, but he's praying that there would be streams coming into that southern country. And when the rains came, there would be a lot of water flowing there, overflowing. But the dry, desolate place with little to offer is there. The old world today is so full of that which is little to offer. We look around us in the world and there isn't much out there that could really satisfy the believer. At least I trust it's that way with you. As you look around and see what's going on, there's so much in the world today that really is like a desert. There's not much there. And yet we find those who are dabbling in it. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk a little bit more about that, what's going on in the world today. But as we look around and see the way things are going and the way people are turning against God, and not only in foreign lands, in our own land as well. We read just recently that Janet Reno said, if you are one who has trusted Christ as Savior, if you're one who believes in the second coming of Christ, you're a cultist. Those are her words. That's our nation. And I believe our nation is gradually going farther and farther away from God. But as we look around the world and see all that's going on, we think of the unrest. There are missionaries that have had to leave Indonesia because of all the unrest there. Some of the new tribes' missionaries have had to come home because of the unrest in Indonesia, the fighting amongst the Muslims and the Christians. In the southern part of the Philippines, we have a very strong Muslim area. And they're trying to have an independent Muslim area where they would be able to forbid the Word of God from coming in. And we have a good work going down there. Pray that that will not be the case. It's interesting then that that very area where the Muslims want to say, we own this, this is Muslim area, three out of four of them are Christians, not Muslims. Now, it doesn't mean that they're believers, but they're not Muslims. They're those who are against the Muslims. And yet they're the ones that are trying to take over that and say, we don't want other religion to come in. The world is going that way in many, many areas. India, there are parts of India the same way. We need to pray that God will preserve our nation from that that area, from going that direction. Oh, that we may pray that the Lord of the harvest will thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. Tremendous work to be done, not only overseas, but in our own country. Places where new work is beginning. Places where there is need of revival of the work that is there. Oh, that we may pray that God would work in the lives of believers. And then there's a confidence in God's blessing in verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Doesn't say that they might, but they shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God has promised a harvest. You know, sometimes I think we feel, well, I can give out God's word, but God's not going to bless it. Well, then God isn't going to bless it. We need to have the confidence that when we give out God's word, God is going to bless it. It will not return void. It will have an effect on the hearts and lives of men and women. It may not be immediate, but God will bless. And oh, how we need to pray that God will work in that way. Of course, this meant sacrifice on their part. When they went back to the land to till the land, that land hadn't been cultivated for 70 years. And boy, there's a lot of work to do. When we moved into our house where we are, it was kind of a land that had been taken over by weeds and that. That was 4 years ago, and we've had to work hard to get some of that out and get some of the area in that make it look halfway decent. And that's what they had in that. 70 years of all the stuff that was growing. They had to clear off the land. They had to plant. It's hard work. It's hard work serving the Lord, doing that which God wants us to do. It isn't easy. It's proclaiming the word of God is not easy, and it's hard. And then, of course, the seed that they sowed really came from what they were eating as well. The more they sowed, the less they could eat at the present. But in the future, they would get the blessings from it, wouldn't they? And sometimes as we sow God's word, it seems as there isn't very much going on, but down the line you begin to see the blessing that God gives. God's word tells if you sow abundantly, you're going to reap abundantly. If you reap with just a small amount, sow with just a small amount, you're just going to reap a small amount. And sometimes I think we're afraid to give out God's word for fear that God isn't going to bless. God is going to bless his word. We need to get out and sow the seed of the word of God. Wonderful to think of the camp season that is just coming, just around the corner. It's interesting that one of the boys that I was teaching down at the school is going to come up and work at Camp Lailulai this summer. It's thrilling to me to know he's willing to come all this direction to serve the Lord. And it's not for a girl either, because his girl is down there. And he's come because he wants to serve the Lord. And this is a young man that has a heart to serve the Lord. He's made up his mind. He's only in 11th grade. He says, I'm going to go to Mass Bible School. I'm going to go out and serve the Lord. And he's made up his mind. How wonderful to realize that there are some that have done that. And it's interesting as we see God working in the lives of men and women this way. God wants us to be that way. God wants us to be willing to get out and sow the Word of God. This young man recently went along with another group up to a place called Ocala, which is about an hour's drive north of where we live. There's a small assembly, struggling assembly there, and they were there for the weekend giving out the Word of God, giving out tracts in the area, and inviting people to come to the meetings. There's been a lot of interest, but there's been some, and that seed has been sown. And God is going to give the harvest. We need to water that. Now, God's Word says that, you go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And some people have the privilege of going out and planting the Word of God, giving out the Word of God. There's other of us, water that seed by our prayers. You may say, well, I don't have that gift of giving out the Word of God. But you do have that ability to get down on your knees and pray for the Word of God that's being given out. Do you pray for the work of God? And I find that too often as we pray in general. Lord, bless the missionaries around the world. It used to get me very upset when I heard people praying like that, because I thought, well, that's not really praying for them. We need to get down and pray for them individually. Need to pray for the unsaved people by name. Lord, here's a person I want to see saved, and name them. God wants us to do that. Be specific in our prayers. And as we are specific, God will answer that prayer in a specific way. And then we can thank God for the answer to prayer. I think as we sow the seed, we need to water the seed. And God has promised that He'll give the increase. God has promised He'll give the harvest. It's God's work, not ours. I think we have to realize that it's God that's going to do the work, not us. We can do all we want, but in the end, it's He that does the work. We have to rely upon Him, and I think we are really lacking in one area, and that's of prayer. For a long time, in recent months, the state of Florida has been really lacking in water. There was a time when we were probably about 7 or 8 inches below normal. We thank God that the rain has come, and we have enough rain now, not almost back to normal. But then we were thinking of what happened last year with all the fires and all the destruction because there was the lack of water. You know, Satan comes in and destroys things because there's the lack of prayer for the believer. We need to really spend time in prayer. You say, well, I don't have time. Well, then make time. Make time. Not easy may mean that you have to set an alarm clock. Now that I go to school, I have to be there 7:30 in the morning, and I guess next year it'll be a little earlier because they're going to move the clock back and we're going to start a little bit earlier next year. It'll mean setting the alarm clock a little bit earlier. But that's the way it is with a believer. We need to set the alarm clock so that we can get up and spend time in God's presence. It may mean that we go to bed a little bit earlier. Oh, but there's a program I like to see on TV. Well, which is more important? Where are our priorities? And I think this is where we need to come down, where our priorities are. In the early days, there were men and women that spent hours in prayer, spent hours asking God's blessing. Think of one man in this area that was mightily used of God, and I believe that one of the big ways that he was used of God was in prayer. Some of you may know a man that many of us younger people in those days used to call Daddy Fairburn from, used to be down here at Elmwood Chapel. Just a little bit of a man. But he was a man that believed in prayer. He was a man that believed in men and women serving God. And next week, Lord willing, I'll perhaps tell you a little bit more about Daddy Fairburn. He was a man that God used, and he was a man that prayed for missionaries, prayed for God's work, prayed for people by name. And I could mention others that they have a list and they go through and they pray for these people. That's what we need. We need to have a list and we need to pray for people by name. We say, well, I can't pray for everybody. No, God doesn't expect us to pray for everybody, but God expects us to zero in on certain activities and to really uphold that in prayer. Praying that God will use those men and women, praying that God will use his word, praying that God will win men and women to Christ, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for them by name, that God's name will be honored and glorified. This is a wonderful psalm, and I trust that as you look at it again this evening, that God will bless it, that God will use it. We need to sow the seed, God's word. We need to water that seed with our prayers, and we need to bring in the harvest. God has the harvest, and we need to bring it in. Let's pray. Father, this evening, as we think of what you are doing in the hearts and lives of men and women in this place, we thank you, Father, for the encouragement that we see here and the young men and women that are eager to serve you and give their lives to you. Father, we pray too for others in other areas, and we would ask that you will just tonight draw them to yourself and use them. We thank you, Father, for your word, and as we think of the challenge that it brings to our hearts, we pray that we may be faithful in bringing men and women out of captivity, the captivity of Satan, into the glorious light and liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've had together. We pray your blessing now upon us as we separate, that we may go from this place honoring and glorifying your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.